You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Cadet. Last September, Jen Johnson opened the first gym in Boise designed specifically for children with special needs. As the parent of two boys with special needs, she felt her children needed more than one day a week dedicated to sensory integration. However, her insurance did not cover anything more than that. So she created a facility that would give kids access to the specialized equipment used in occupational, physical, and speech therapy. Her gym, appropriately named The Sensory Place, offers a unique experience for children that may struggle with traditionally overstimulating environments like a playground. Parents can use the gym to supplement private therapy as well as work on social skills in an inclusive space. Joining me live in studio is Jen Johnson, the owner of The Sensory Place, occupational therapist Mikkel Hutt, and parent Brooke Marrero. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Jen, I want to start with you. Tell me a little bit more about what went into you deciding to actually open a physical space. That's a lot different than knowing it's needed versus tackling going through with something like this.
Right. So it's something actually I've thought about for years and years and years. And I finally got to a spot in my life where I decided I was just going to jump in and tackle it. And the building got bigger and bigger as I looked at ideas. Originally, I thought, well, I'll start with something small. And so we're just under 6,000 square feet in the space that we have. Again, the building just sort of fell into place. I was looking at different locations, and I walked into this space, and it was perfect for an area to be really easy to open it up and make it the space it needed to be. And then Mikkel, who's here today, was actually the therapist for my children. And so I started talking to her and I said, hey, where do I even look for this equipment? And so I started looking and then I wanted to buy everything.
And you had to narrow that down,
I had to narrow that down. Yeah. But really, it was just something that I wanted a space for my kids to go. We couldn't go to like a Pojo's. My son would very quickly melt down that it was just too much for him. And so to have a space, I really thought hard about. So we changed the lighting out from fluorescent lighting. None of our toilets have the automatic flushers on them or the automatic hand dryers. And it was interesting. Like, contractors would say, oh, you really should have the automatic. There's germs. It was like, no,
you're like, I really
scares
shouldn't.
Kids.
Yeah.
And so really giving a lot of thought. We don't have music. Again, that was one of the contractors said, where's the speaker system? And it said, we don't have a speaker system. It's on purpose that there is no music.
And Mikkel, as a therapist, you know, talk to me about some of the differences in play. I mean, Jen talked about certain things. Like, I mean, people don't think about it, but simple things like an automatic toilet flusher, that can really set some kiddos off.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of thought that went into it, which was really neat to see from a therapist perspective. And oftentimes in the actual therapy setting, we do so many things and we expect there to be a carryover, but there really isn't a place in the community for that carryover. And so the coolest thing is to be able to see so many of the things that we work on for maybe the 1 hour a week, or sometimes even less than that, 1 hour every couple weeks or a month, be able to be carried over almost daily if there's the access for that, and with a very intentional method behind it. So it might look like play from the outside, but there are things that we are strengthening, such as the vestibular system, which is with swinging and body movement, proprioceptive system, which is kind of where your body is at in space. And we get that by bumping into things, getting tight squeezes, feeling something surrounding us just to kind of let us know where we are. And so a lot of those things might just look like play, but you can't typically get that same input in just any everyday environment or place structure for a kiddo. So it's been really cool to see and see some of those things be carried over.
And Brooke, what's it been like? Tell me about your kiddos, and then what's it been like to have a space like this?
I only have one son. He's 3.5 and he has level 3 autism. So for him, it's really difficult for socially. It's hard for him to be around other children. So just being able to find a place where he can be welcomed and not be judged. We've been kicked out of multiple places because he acts different. He can't engage in the social norms. So when we heard about Sensory Place opening up, I'm pretty sure I might have been the first person to get a membership. It's like the best thing that's ever happened. He blossomed. He just loves going there. He knows exactly where we're going. He knows exactly, take my shoes off when I go, open the door, or wait for someone to open the door, and he takes off, he runs to his favorite swing, and it's he's starting to make friends there, and he doesn't have to feel judged by anybody.
How does that make you feel as a mom?
I've tears of joy, like, just seeing him be happy, and just knowing that I'm not the only parent that's going through this.
And how often, I mean, so Jen, I know you have two children as well with special needs. It's got to be rough living in, you know, the real regular world, right? With these indoor playgrounds that, I mean, look, I find them overwhelming, right? To children being kicked out of spaces, to people not understanding what your children need. What's it like having this place now?
Oh, I mean, it's great. And even, you know, I say too, even the places where people understand, sometimes it's hard. I can remember being in a therapy place and my son having a meltdown and another mom saying, it's okay, that's why we're here. And it was like, it's not okay. Why is this so, you know, and so you feel that. But being at this space for me, meeting other moms, meeting Brooke, going out and we share like, hey, my son just did this therapy. It worked really well. This might work for your son. Or we just did this test. It didn't work really well for us. That probably wouldn't work for your son. So I think also just that bond that builds between the parents that are going as well. And we all, and it's very different. It's not the place where you go and you drink your coffee and you get on the computer and or on your phone or what. Parents aren't doing that. Parents are actively involved in working with their children and meeting other parents. And it's a very active space as well. And so that's what's great for me. I mean, going to the other places, I spend the whole time very stressed. And I have to constantly, like, what's he doing? What's he doing? Did he run into somebody? Because it feels good to him to run into somebody. And other people don't understand. He didn't mean to hurt your kiddo, right? He just wanted that input. And if he runs into somebody at the sensory place, it's like, that's okay. My kid would have run into him first. So, you know, it's just nice to feel a safe place.
I'm speaking with Jen Johnson. She is the owner and creator of the Sensory Place, as well as occupational therapist Mikhail Hutt and parent Brooke Maroro. And we are talking about the Sensory Place, which is a new, what will we call it, like an indoor gym, Jen, for kiddos with special needs. And Mikhail, in your practice as an occupational therapist, how critical is it to have spaces like this outside of the therapy that a child is receiving, as you said, maybe once a week, maybe every other week?
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly critical. I think that as Jen and Brooke have both said, it kind of fosters a safe space, not only for the child, because as Brooke has said, you know, her son will run in and have this routine that he follows, which is so important to be able to have that structure, but also a sense of community for the parents, a sense of community for, you know, behavioral interventionalists and habilitative interventionalists and people that can come to this place, know what to expect, the kids know what to expect, and also know that sometimes things are going to happen that you could never expect, but it's safe and it's okay and we work through it together. It fosters such a social environment that is maybe non-traditional, but exactly what some of those kids need. And then the equipment, as we've said, has been so specifically chosen. So you're addressing all of these things, but it's kind of disguised as play. So the kids are having a blast, but they're addressing these higher level functions and processes that are not often able to be addressed in a more traditional play setting. So it's very crucial. I think that if you couple an indoor gym that's, you know, directed towards kids with special needs with therapy, you're going to see so many more results and so much higher carryover and a, you know, quicker, might not be the best word, but a faster approach to reaching some of those goals because the kids are getting that input every single day rather than maybe that 1 hour a week. And in more of like that sterile therapy clinical environment, this is allowing error and allowing mistakes and allowing learning from those mistakes and making friends along the way. So it's been really cool to see.
And when we talk about kids with special needs going to this facility, what does that look like? I know, Brooke, you said your son has autism, but is it even, I mean, there are some kids that have even like tactile issues, things like that, that may not be on the autism spectrum. Who can, you know, come to this space? Who's it made for?
Right. So we're open for everybody. So we say neurotypical kids all the way up to kids in a wheelchair. I mean, we cover the spectrum, but specifically designed for kids who have sensory integration issues. And that can be, I think the last study I saw was something like 1 in 6 kids have some sort of a sensory issue. And that can carry over then to have different diagnoses. So whether that's autism or Down syndrome or spina bifida or mental health diagnosis or, gosh, I'm trying to think. Lots of stuff.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because, you know, having children of my own, I've also seen how my kids are different, right? And how one child may be more sensitive, as when they were younger, in particular, to like music and loud noise and things like that. And they would be a neurotypical child. But that's a lot of sensory overload for children. So even what you've created, to just let them play without all of the noise.
Right. And really also just from a developmental perspective, I focused a lot on making sure we had a lot of developmental toys. And so we've got things that might focus on the fine motor skill or the gross motor skill, or do you know your colors or do you know your numbers? Really adding in to make sure that developmentally all children will benefit from coming there. But just also making sure that people know that because it's also therapeutic, when they come, it's not going to be that loud, crazy, music blaring environment, I think is important too.
And Brooke, what's it been like for you just to have a space for you as a parent to talk to other parents?
It's been really nice because, you know, going out into other places like the park outside, a lot of parents don't understand. They might say they understand what I'm going through, but unless you've been there and you're living it, you can sympathize.
You can't empathize. There's a difference.
Yeah. But I mean, being at sensory place, you know, just talking to other moms, I mean, whether their kids have autism or not, just knowing that they're going through something, we can be there for each other. It's helpful for me, especially because a lot of us, we don't really have a lot of friends. We're taking care of our kids constantly, and it's draining. But you know, going to sensory place, I talk to Jen every time I go in, and we talk about our kids, ourselves. It's wonderful.
I appreciate all of you coming in and talking about this. What a good thing to have in our community. My guest today, Jen Johnson, the owner and the creator of The Sensory Place, occupational therapist Macaulay Hutt, and parent Brooke Mayroro.